buying your first home and seem overwhelmed by the entire process? This time we'll discuss what to expect on Mortgages Made Simple.
Mortgages Made Simple with Rick Gunzik, helping you get the best home loan possible. Sponsored by Pacific Residential Financing at pacificresidential.com. And now, here's your host, mortgage expert, Rick Gunzik.
Welcome to Mortgages Made Simple, where we help you understand the complicated world of mortgages and get the best home loan possible. Joining me, as always, on this scary Halloween day is Douglas E. Welch from WelchRight.com. Doug, how are you doing?
I am doing great. The little ghoulies and ghosties are just about ready to come through our neighborhood, so we're going to record up to our show tonight and then get back to passing out candy, I guess.
Sounds good. Tonight, Doug, we're going to be talking about what the home buying process actually entails. And we're going to go over it because it's a pretty complicated process or lengthy process. We're going to go over it. And then in future weeks, we'll tear out the more complicated ideas and go in a little more in depth on some of those. But what we want to talk about is a home buying process. And because it's a good time to buy a home, and we want people to realize it is a good time to buy a home. A lot of people out there are scared. They think house prices are going to fall to nowhere man's land. And the problem right now is nobody's actually buying or selling much because they're worried about that. Sellers want to get as much as they can, and buyers want to wait until prices come down. But what we're seeing in some of the other states is prices aren't really dropping that much. Sales activity is down, particularly in California, but that's mainly because it was so difficult to get a jumbo home loan in the last 2 months. But that's all changing, and now it actually is a good time to start looking for a home, Doug. So we want to get people interested in that. We're going to tell them a little bit about it.
And of course, you want to be looking for a home, even if you're not right at the cusp of being ready to buy. You want to be noting what neighborhoods you want to be looking in, what type of homes are in their neighborhoods, what type of home you might want, what style, what size, before you ever consummate the deal and actually buy something. So there's always a good idea to be looking if you're actually in the market for a home.
Exactly. And what we want to talk about first is the most important thing, I think, and that's probably because I'm in the mortgage industry, but I also see this happen a lot. When people go looking for a home and they like something and then they find out they can't qualify for it. So I think the most important thing you want to do is call a reputable loan officer or call us, and we'll be happy to pre-qualify you for a home to see just how much of a home you can afford, because that's extremely important. Also, you can check out things like your credit to make sure there's nothing you have to fix before you're ready to buy a home. So the first step, I feel, is get pre-qualified to see how much of a home you can afford. And then,
now, Rick, was that what you did for us? I remember you, I think you did something for us which was beyond a pre-qualification, or maybe it was just a change in name from back when we did our loan. But basically, we had a loan amount in our hand. All we had to do was go in and sign the papers.
That's a good point,
and
Doug.
We were ready to go.
Yeah, what we did with you is we actually pre-approved you. And what the difference is when you pre-qualify, you call up a loan officer and they kind of work the numbers for you on the phone and tell you, oh, you could probably qualify for this much if everything stays the same. What we did with Doug is we actually sent his loan into underwriting and had the underwriter actually give us a full bona fide approval pending a house. And that's the other thing you might want to do, because actually you carry a lot more weight. And in this market, it'll really carry a lot more weight. You'll be able to get a better offer when you put in an offer for a home if you've got a bona fide approval versus a pre-qualifying letter from a lender. If you have a pre-approval letter from a lender, it carries more weight. So that's a real good point, Doug. So that's what you want to ask for, is you want to ask for a pre-approval and get a letter from your lender that actually says pre-approved. Okay, so after you get that, what you want to do, like Doug alluded to, is start looking for the home. Start looking in the area that you want. A lot of people will drive a neighborhood that they like and just look for homes to go on sale. And a lot of times the realtors will put flyers on the homes that are for sale, and you can see what the prices are. So this will give you an idea of what the asking prices are. Also, nowadays too, the multiple listing services automatically upload the listings to realtor.com and some of the other online listing services. So you can get a decent idea of what the prices are in certain neighborhoods by going to realtor.com and websites like that.
Wow, you mean you can actually start to go and get your own comps, as I believe they're called?
Exactly. You can see what's selling for in the neighborhood and see what's actually happening in the neighborhood. Other sites like Zillow, a lot of people don't understand how Zillow works, but Zillow is a little bit similar. It doesn't have current listing data, but it'll have what houses sold for in the past. So that's another place to kind of look at it too. And you can go on those two websites, and we'll give you links on our blog to those so you can take a peek at those. So what happens when you find your neighborhood and you find your home? The next thing you do is you've got to get a real estate agent, obviously. You can't actually buy a home without it. You can sell a home without a real estate agent, but buying a home without one is pretty difficult because nobody usually wants to talk to you. But what you do is you find a real estate agent, and if you can't find a reputable one, just you'd be happy to, we'll refer a couple to you. But you put in an offer, and once you put in the offer, what they do is they start negotiating for you. This is where their job takes on control. They start negotiating for the best price that they can find based upon the comps in the neighborhood. And they'll put in the offer, and then what typically happens is the other agent, if they like everything, it's great and fine and dandy, but if there's something they don't like, they'll do a counter offer. And what's become common now, since housing is a little slower, is you can put in an offer where the seller will pay the closing costs, which is really a benefit because it saves you a lot of money, and it actually helps the pricing in general because it keeps the house of the price a little higher, the way they structure the offer. So what happens is you put in the offer, and if they counter offer, great. If they don't, fine. They'll accept your offer at one point. And then what you do is you open escrow. And everybody's always interested or always is confused about what that might mean. It's like, I'm in escrow. Now what I do? Basically, escrow is just a term. It's mainly a California term. In other states, they usually use title companies. But in California, we use escrow companies, at least in Southern California. Oddly enough, Northern California uses title companies as well. But they handle all the paperwork. What they do is they take the offer from the agent and they draw up the instructions so everybody knows what's going on. And they also order the payoffs from the other lender. If you're buying a home from somebody and they have a loan on the house, they order those payoffs. And what their main job is to do is make sure all the money goes to the right place and kind of coordinate that whole activity.
And once you're in escrow too, Rick, I mean, that's basically the point where it becomes a legally binding agreement between you and the seller. Is that correct?
That is correct. Because when you put in the purchase offer, if generally the purchase offer is contingent upon a deposit, and they'll usually ask you to make some sort of deposit into escrow. Generally, it's about $5,000, sometimes more, sometimes less, obviously depending on the price of the house. But when you sign the purchase contract, they'll ask you for the deposit. And when they send everything to escrow, you have to give escrow a deposit check. And that's when everything becomes legal. Now, if you were to back out, there's two ways you can get out of it generally. There's a thing called an appraisal contingency, which means if the home doesn't appraise for as much as you are buying it for, you can back out of the loan or the purchase. Or if for some reason your loan doesn't get approved. But remember, you should have got pre-approved, so that shouldn't be a problem. But if for some reason your loan doesn't get approved, you can also back out of the purchase without suffering any damages. Because the reason they put in that deposit is to show your intention, that you're just not putting in offers all over town.
Typically, that's called earnest money, right?
Exactly. It's called an earnest money deposit to show your earnestness. And at that point, you can only – what the reason is for that too is if you were to back out for another reason, let's say, for instance, you had a job – the reason you were buying a house is you had a job offer or whatever, and you lost that job offer. If you were to back out at that point, the seller can say, well, that's not my fault. I have some damages here because I was expecting to sell this house. So then they can put in a claim for some of your deposit. And it's generally liquidated damages, which means actual damages they incurred. So generally you can get most of your deposit back, but if they like put in a deposit on a rental property that they were going to move to and they can't get that money back, they might put a claim in against your money. So you got to be careful with that. You want to make sure that you are serious about the house you are buying. So that's important. Now, what happens after you open escrow is then they're going to schedule a home inspection. And what the home inspector does is he comes out, and we can do a whole show on home inspectors because it's a 4 or 5 hour process. The home inspector comes out and he checks every nook and cranny of your house to make sure that the house is in decent condition. And he'll make notes and stuff. And a good home inspector, like I said, will be there 3 or 4 hours. And generally what they'll do, like in fact, on Doug's case, when we did the home inspection on their house, we went to a local restaurant and went over the inspection afterwards with the home inspector just to see what he thought of the house. And it's very important that you do this. Almost everybody requires them now. And it protects you and it protects the seller. And just in case there's something they didn't disclose that was important, something wrong with the house that they didn't know about, the home inspector will find it, hopefully, and save you a lot of trouble down the road.
Can you talk a little bit, just a short bit, and again, I think this is probably going to end up being a whole nother show on its own, but can you talk a little bit about disclosures?
Oh, exactly. There's a thing called a transfer disclosure statement, and what that is the seller, it's required if they lived in the home, which typically they do, or if it's a non-owner occupied home, if they were renting it, they don't need to fill one out. But what this transfer disclosure statement is the seller is supposed to list everything they think is wrong or know is wrong with the house when they sell it to you. Let's say, for instance, their air conditioner shuts off after an hour in a hot summer day. They have to say, you know, faulty air conditioner on hot summer days. They have to disclose all these things so you know about them as a buyer, so you can't go back and sue them later. Now, let's say, for instance, they knew something obvious, like maybe the front door falls off the hinges every time you shut it, and they don't say that, and for some reason you didn't notice it. You can go back and sue them because they didn't disclose this to you. Disclosure is a big thing in real estate and mortgages too. It's everybody needs to tell everybody everything, because then nobody can sue everybody later. And it's important because a house is generally and almost always the biggest investment that someone makes. So it's important that disclosures are made properly and that everybody tells everybody everything, because you'll find out after living in a house 6 or 8 months that, you know, they forgot to tell you something.
Okay, so we'll dive into that. We'll probably, again, it sounds like a whole separate show there. So let me note that down in our little to-do pad here that we will discuss disclosures in the future.
Oh, yeah, disclosures is a big one.
And so after your inspection and the disclosures, where do we go from there?
Typically, then you have the appraiser come out, and the appraiser is different than the home inspector. It is not his job to make sure the house is in good working condition. An appraiser will only notice huge things wrong. For instance, a roof that's falling apart. He'll mention the roof needs to be replaced or stuff like that. But once again, it's not his duty to do that. That's more lies on the home inspector. The appraiser's main job is to come out and make sure your house is standing. And then he finds the comparable properties in the neighborhood that give a value to your home. What he looks for is similar properties in your neighborhood. Let's say your house is 1,500 square feet, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. He's going to look for everything within a mile of your house that's 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and 1,500 square feet. And if it's a good appraiser, he'll find all the best comps to show your value. And he's also got to make sure they've closed within 6 months. So you can see when houses aren't selling very quickly, it's difficult to get an appraised value to come in, because sometimes he can't find those comps. He can't find a similar property. Maybe he's finding 4-bedroom, 2,500-square-foot houses that sold, or maybe even condos that are smaller. If he can't similarly compare them and then make adjustments for the differences, it's very difficult for him to do an appraisal. So he's a very important party along the way too. So give him cookies when he comes out. Essentially at that point, your loan's still going in process, but hopefully you did get pre-approved, so there shouldn't be any huge surprises along the way. But I want to mention though, always expect some surprises when buying a home. Maybe the appraiser couldn't find comps. Maybe the home inspector didn't like the way the heating and air conditioning worked. Or maybe the lender needs one more piece of documentation from you. When you're buying a home, it is a huge deal. So expect a couple surprises along the way. Don't be surprised when your lender calls and says, oh, we need one more thing. Don't get stressed out about it. It's pretty much common course for loans and buying a house. Okay, then after the few surprises that you'll inevitably find, next what happens is they order your loan documents. And this is where you'll find a whole new set of disclosures. Generally, loan documents nowadays have about 80 to 90 pages. I know it sounds crazy, but you can thank our attorney friends for that. They've got every disclosure under the sun in there to make sure that you know exactly what's going on your loan. So you'll go to escrow generally to sign your loan documents. And what will happen after you sign those loan documents is then they'll go back to your lender. They make sure everything's in order. And then finally, they will fund your loan if everything's in order. And typically what happens is most people think, oh, my loan's funded, I can get my keys and move in. But typically, after it funds, it's not going to record, which means it gets recorded at the county recorder. This is what you'll hear people talking about, funded and recorded, when you do start doing your home. And the recording process is where they take the deed of trust that you signed and they actually file it in the county recorder's office. So now it says you own that house. And not until that recording takes place, which is kind of nice. They're doing recordings by computer now, Doug, in Orange County, and they'll start doing them in LA soon. The recording typically happens a lot faster that way, because they used to record only twice a day, but with electronic recording, they'll fund all day long. So now when your loan funds, it'll record a lot quicker. And then after your loan does record, that house is yours. So that's when the realtor will hand over the keys to you, and congratulations, you've got a new home. And that's the home buying process in 10 or 15 minutes, Doug. It's a lot more complicated. So like I mentioned, we'll break it down in future shows.
Well, that's certainly a great overview. Let me just see if I got this straight here. Okay, so you get your loan pre-qualified, or if you can, pre-approved.
Mm-hmm.
Then you find the house you're looking for, of course, that you want to buy. Then you hire a real estate agent, a realtor, to help you find the home, or perhaps just start the bidding process on the home.
Correct.
Then the seller accepts the offer.
Uh-huh.
And then you go into escrow.
Correct.
And then you get the inspection.
Uh-huh.
Then the appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually...
Oh, yeah. After that point, you'll get your loan documents and finish up the whole deal and sign in escrow. And then that loan will fund, and then you'll get your keys.
Yeah, and then it will record, and then you'll get your keys.
Correct.
Great. Well, it seems like if I was able to remember that off the top of my head here without taking out too many notes, that it seems like we've got everything listed there. And as you've said, we will take every step of the process. We're going to break it down over the next couple of weeks so we can talk about that appraisal and that inspection and the funding and the recording and everything else.
Thank you for joining us this week on Mortgages Made Simple, and please be sure to join us next week when we'll talk about FHA loans, what their benefits are, and why you might consider getting one.
For more information, visit the website at pacificresidential.com. There you can find past shows, interesting blog posts, and more. Do you have a question for Rick? Email mortgagepodcast@gmail.com or call our listener line at 714-519-7833. If you listen to Mortgages Made Simple directly from the website, please consider subscribing. It's free and you'll receive each new episode automatically. You'll find a link on the website, pacificresidential.com. Are you looking for a great home loan? Call Pacific Residential at 888-868-2198. Tell your loan officer you're a podcast listener and receive a free credit report. If you later get your loan through Pacific Residential, when your loan closes, we'll refund the appraisal fee for podcast listeners. This show is a production of WelchRite.com, WelchRite.com.